There are some verses in the Bible which, when you first read them, seem rather perplexing. Verse 24 in our passage this evening is one such verse. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What on earth was Jesus talking about? You might imagine, well, surely, desiring to save your life, well, that must be a good thing, isn't it? So why should it result in you losing your life? What exactly was it that Jesus meant when he came out with such a statement as this? Well, first of all this evening, I want us to look at this verse 24. Let's just sort out the apparent mystery here in the words that Jesus spoke. And then we'll move on to verse 25. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Well, to help us understand those two separate phrases, we're going to look at two stories that occur a little bit later on in the Gospel of Luke. One of them is a made-up story. It's a parable that Jesus told. A story that may have had some element of truth in it, but nevertheless, absolutely no grounds to suspect that it was a true story, but it was a story that Jesus told in order to explain a very important spiritual truth. The next story that we're going to look at to understand the second phrase is a real story, historical fact, something that really happened. So, number one, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. What on earth did Jesus mean? Well, turn with me a couple of chapters on to Luke chapter 12, page 921 in a church Bible. Luke chapter 12, and I'm going to read a short section beginning at verse 16. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Well, there's a story we can all understand. Here's a farmer who's had a bumper crop. It's never been so good. And his existing barns and storerooms are simply not big enough to hold the crop, so he tears them all down, he builds bigger ones, and he fills it all up. And he's pleased. But do you notice an important lesson that we learn from that story that Jesus told? This man thought that by his own wisdom and through his own effort, he could provide for his soul. He thought that in the goods of this world, he would find that which his soul needed. When in fact, his selfish pursuit was actually taking him further and further away from the thing that his soul most needed. And one day, his soul was lost forever. See, here was a man who desired to save his life. But he got it completely wrong. He completely misunderstood what it was that was necessary to save his life. And he turned to the things that his own hands could do to save his life and to provide for his soul. And he turned to the things of this world to provide for his soul. And here is an example of a man who desired to save his life, but he lost it. He lost it. Jesus himself in that parable provides for us an illustration to understand the words that he's speaking. When he's talking about people desiring to save their own life, he's talking about those who through their own selfish ambition, through their own sinful pride, believe that they can actually provide for themselves everything that their soul is in need of. And those that actually find that they're successful in those pursuits are under the huge delusion that actually they've done what they were seeking to do. They're under the delusion that their apparent success will actually achieve for them that they want. But they will lose their soul. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. That's the meaning and the force behind those words in the first half of that verse. Well, what about the second half? Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What's that all about? Well, we continue a little bit further through Luke's Gospel and turn with me to chapter 19, page 929 in a church Bible. And here we have not just a parable, we have a real factual account of an event that took place. Luke chapter 19, beginning to read at verse 1. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What does that mean? Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when all the crowd saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, Zacchaeus, you see, like many people today, measures his life according to the abundance of his possessions. He measures his life by what he had to show for it. The more he owned, he concluded, the fuller and more complete his life must be. The fact that much of his wealth has been attained through deception and corruption, as far as Zacchaeus is concerned, has got nothing to do with it. But then, one day, this man, who measured the success of his life by the abundance of his possessions, came face to face with the one who is the life. The one who gives life to all men. And suddenly, Zacchaeus realized that his hoarded riches counted for absolutely nothing. And Zacchaeus went around returning in very full measure all that he'd swindled out of his customers. And he did it very generously. If he'd swindled anyone, he gave them back 4 times the amount that he'd taken. This man was very rich indeed. And whilst there was probably great delight in the people who received back the money that they'd been cheated of, and they'd got back from him that which was rightfully theirs and more beside, you know, I can imagine some people looking at Zacchaeus and thinking to themselves, "You idiot. Now that you've got it, keep hold of it, man. I would. Zacchaeus, you're giving your life away. Everything you've been working for, everything that we all think is really important in life, you're abandoning it all. You're giving it all away. Because you see, Zacchaeus that day learned an important lesson. And it was this: whoever loses his life for the sake of Christ actually saves it. And in the eyes of the world, Zacchaeus had lost his life. He'd become a loser. He'd made the most stupid decision that you could ever think of making. But what did we read was the reality of the situation for Zacchaeus. Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." His life was saved. And he goes on to re-emphasize that this man Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham, and we learnt in Galatians what that means. To be a son of Abraham is to have the faith of Abraham in your heart. And so we have these two contrasts that Jesus brings: those who think they're actually doing that which will do their soul good, but it will actually only lead to destruction. And those who, in the eyes of the world, have done completely the opposite and they've thrown it all away. What a ridiculous choice you've made, Zacchaeus. What a foolish course of action to take. You've lost your life. "Oh no," says Zacchaeus, "I'm more alive today than I've ever been, because I've come face to face with the one who is life. And my soul has found its true rest and peace and comfort." I want to ask you, has your soul found its true rest and its true peace and its true comfort? And if you're looking in all the things that this world has to offer for that rest and peace and comfort, Jesus says you'll actually end up losing your life, because you'll never find the thing that you're looking for in this world. But if you, and the Bible says that the gospel is a foolish message, if you will give your life to Christ, if you will turn from your sin and give your life to Him, and in the eyes of the world, you'll be making the most foolish of decisions. All the things that you'll be leaving behind, all the things that you're giving away, that the world treasures so dearly, and you're just choosing to abandon them. But whoever loses his life will save it. And you will find in Christ that which your soul is truly in need of. Then Jesus continues back in Luke chapter 9 with these words. What advantage is it to a man if he gains the whole world? Now Zacchaeus was a rich man, but he owned nowhere near the whole world. So Jesus takes it to its ultimate extreme. What advantage is it if a man gains the whole world, but himself is destroyed or lost? You see, one of the problems with this sinful world is that in our sin, men and women get their valuation of things completely wrong. There's been a very successful program on the TV, which is on every now and again. It's called The Antiques Roadshow. Now, I guarantee that there are many people who have no interest whatsoever in antiques who find themselves glued to that television series. Why is that? Well, it's because the thrill of finding something that you thought was absolutely worthless is actually worth a lot of money really excites people. The thought of being able to go up into your loft and dig out some old relic that you were given by great Aunt Flo, that's been gathering the dust for donkey's years, hasn't seen the light of day for decades, and all of a sudden to discover that it's worth thousands of pounds, because they, although they hated the thing, had no idea of its true value, that thrills people. Some of you may recall on that very series, quite some time ago now, there was a lady from Liverpool, and she had a huge, ugly teapot that she'd never ever used, and it was just gathering dust somewhere on the top shelf, and it turns out the thing was really valuable, and she sold it for about £10,000. And the chance that might happen to me, wow, really fires people up. Just the possibility that, well, I'd valued that thing all wrong for years. What value your soul? What value? Now you see, the world believes that a soul is worth nothing. Nothing. You're only here by some freak accident that happened billions of years ago. There is no purpose to your being here. You're worth nothing. Now you might think, Ian, that's a bit strong. Well, I can prove it to you. Every year, all around the face of this planet, hundreds of thousands of infants are murdered in the womb. Let's face it, that's what it is. They are murdered in the womb. Why? Because their value in the world's eyes is nothing. So, we just get rid of it. What value? Your soul. Your soul is the most precious thing God has given you that you will ever have. Robbie Williams, the singer, I guess most of you will have heard of him. You might not know him, you may not know his songs, but you probably know the name. Robbie Williams, quite a few years ago now, he left the pop group, Take That, went out and decided to forge a solo career, and signed a contract with a record label for over £80 million. And he was pictured in the evening news with his hands in the air, saying, and these are his very words, "I'm rich beyond my wildest dreams." Let me tell you, he isn't happy beyond his wildest dreams. Because the sinful world in which we live gets its values completely wrong. That's why that rich farmer built his barns bigger, because he believed that the things in which he put value would actually do him good. They did him no good whatsoever. And that's why Zacchaeus gave away all those things that everyone else looking on thought was of great value. But he'd come to see the truth of it. And he found that he'd got something much more precious. His soul. Salvation for his soul. Something that money could never buy. Something that nothing in this world could ever give him. What advantage is it if you gain the whole world? Have you ever imagined what it would be like to own the whole world? Just think about it for a second. Some of you have just been on holiday. If you owned the whole world, what would holidays be like? Well, you get in your car, you drive down to Manchester Airport, you've got no wallet in your back pocket, you don't need one. There's nothing that you ever need to buy because you own it all already. And so you stroll up to the board and you have a look at all the flights and all the destinations and you think, I'll have that one. And so you walk through, no one's going to stop you. You own the airport after all. You own the security guards, they're all in your employ. You get on the plane and say to the pilot, "I'm ready, off we go." Well, not everyone's on board yet. It doesn't matter, I own this plane, off we go, and off you go. And you land at the airport at the far end and you walk out, where to stay? And you walk into the biggest, plushest hotel that you've ever seen, and there is someone at the desk signing in to the presidential suite that they booked 6 months ago. "Excuse me," you say, "sorry, it's mine." Who's going to argue? You own the whole place. Just imagine. Owning the whole world. Ladies, going shopping, if you owned the whole world. Going shopping, you'd walk into every shop, it would just be like one huge walk-in wardrobe. Take what you want. What some people would give at the thought of being able to live like that. And you know what? Within a couple of years, you'd be bored stiff. Bored, stiff with the whole thing. Guaranteed. Because you can read the countless stories of people who, well, they may not own the whole world, but compared to you and me, they may as well do. The amount of money they've got in their bank account. They're some of the saddest, most depressed people on the face of the planet. Because despite their huge wealth and their abundance of riches, they know deep down that one day they're going to lose their life. And some of them get so desperate, they actually take it. What value the human soul? You see, the loss of anything that this world has to offer is either bearable or only for a short time. Have you ever thought of that? Anything that this world has to offer, all its goods, the largest number of zeros in your bank balance, if you lose it, it will either be bearable and you'll cope with it. And even if you don't, it will only be for a short time. Because one day Christ's returning and he will bring to an end everything as we currently know it anyway. But if you lose your soul, that's forever. That's forever. Because you see, your soul is the one thing that God has given you, that was given to you for all eternity. And it was that part of you that God breathed into man in order that we might live in fellowship with him, in order that we might commune with him. And if you lose your soul, you lose God. You lose Christ. You lose heaven. You lose glory. You lose happiness for all eternity. If you lose your soul, it is to be cast away forever, helpless and hopeless in hell. Where can I find rest and peace for my soul? We read in Psalm 23, one of the most well-known psalms, possibly the most well-known psalm, God restores my soul. Verse 3. He's the only one that can. Nothing else. So I want to ask you this evening, how's your soul? What value to place on it? Let me ask you the question that Jesus asked. What profit is it to you if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? We're going to sing.